Over the course of 50 years, None Such Records has become a force in the music industry. What started as a tiny, independent, budget classical label in 1964 went on to pioneer electronic and world music. It launched the ragtime revival and became a place where contemporary classical composers found a home. This week, the label is beginning an anniversary celebration at the Brooklyn Academy of Music, and Jeff London has the None Such story.
Tucked in a corner of the Manhattan office tower that houses the giant conglomerate Warner Music Group, the 13 staffers who run None Such Records quietly release about 25 albums a year. Robert Hurwitz has been leading the company for 30 of its 50 years. He says when he got the job, he knew it was the opportunity of a lifetime.
And I recognized that if I was going to fail, I wanted to fail on my own terms, which was I wanted to fail not because I took a safe way and did what people thought I should do, but that I was going to fail because we actually had the courage of our convictions and people just didn't buy the record.
When Hurwitz released Henrik Gorecki's Third Symphony in 1992, he figured it would sell about 25,000 copies. It sold over a million.
All that did is reaffirm to me that there was a public out there that was just like me.
In many ways, Hurwitz was following the philosophy of label founder Jack Holtzman. When he launched None Such 50 years ago, Holtzman had already created Elektra Records in his college dorm room. Elektra was home to such popular folk artists as Judy Collins and Phil Oakes. Holtzman wanted to make classical music available to record buyers at budget prices, so he licensed European recordings and sold them for the price of a paperback, about $2.50. But he knew the licenses would run out, so he took a chance on contemporary electronic music.
I believed deeply in electronic music. So I decided to commission works from people like Morton Subotnick.
Holtzman and his partner Teresa Stern commissioned Subotnick to create the first completely electronic composition for records. Silver Apples of the Moon became a big hit, says Jack Holtzman.
Then we did the None Such Guide to Electronic Music, sitting on the Billboard charts, midway on the Billboard charts for 26 weeks. And then Josh Rifkin walked in one day and he said, you know, we ought to really do an album of Joplin rags. Well, that started the whole Joplin craze.
As in Scott Joplin. Then Holtzman and Stern heard from David Lewiston, who'd been traveling around the world recording indigenous music. As he told NPR in 2000.
So I came back to New York with no idea of getting involved with a record company. I just knew I had these great recordings. But then I was riffling through the stacks in Sam Goody's on 3rd Avenue and discovered there was this company called None Such would actually put out records of this sort of stuff. So I sent a brief query to None Such asking, you know, are you interested in listening? Got a prompt response saying, yes, please bring them in.
The None Such Explorer series introduced world music to American audiences long before it was called world music. Jack Holtzman says None Such, with its distinctive logo, album covers, and its own bins in record stores, reversed industry trends in the 1960s.
Large record labels like RCA and Columbia financed their serious music making out of their pop successes. Nonesuch was so successful at the end of its first year that suddenly I had an extra $500,000 in cash with which to finance the Butterfield Blues Band, the Stooges, the Doors, Queen, etc. So Nonesuch provided the financial kindling for the explosion that Elektra became.
In the years that followed, Robert Hurwitz's Nonesuch has enjoyed huge success with the Gypsy Kings and the Buena Vista Social Club. Hurwitz also signed Kronos Quartet and composers Steve Reich and John Adams, and broadened the label scope to include Emmylou Harris and songwriter Randy Newman.
Bob is a music man. He leaves it alone creatively. I mean, he has things that he likes and things that he doesn't like, and he makes his opinions known. But it isn't for commercial reasons in any sense that he likes things.
Feels like home. Feels like home to me. Feels like I'm all the way back where I come from.
It was artists feels like Randy like Newman and Wilco who attracted a young Chris Thiele to Nonesuch.
I've wanted to be on Nonesuch since I was a little kid.
Thiele has since become one of the most respected mandolin players today. He says he's always surprised to find out who's on the label.
I kept hearing just all sorts of different musical aesthetics represented, you know, so finely by what I would eventually find out were Nonesuch artists.
Like fellow MacArthur Genius Grant winner Jeremy Denk.
I love the way in which there isn't this wall at Nonesuch between the classical and the other worlds, that if it's interesting, then it's part of the collection.
Nonesuch continues to defy expectations. One upcoming release will feature Radiohead's Johnny Greenwood playing the music of classical composer Steve Reich. For NPR News, I'm Jeff London in New York.